Future is now. And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. To kick things off, I want to say a big thank you to EOS London for their EOS Community Monthly event. It was a kick-ass event, so thank you so much for inviting us down and giving SVK Crypto a big shout-out at the beginning. We appreciate that. And I want to give a big shout-out to Angus for doing what he does for EOS London. And I'll give a big shout-out to all the other speakers and the block producers who were there. It was great seeing EOS 42, EOS Authority, EOS UK. Big shout-out to Jim. Yeah, great event. It was great to meet the EOS DAC guys as well, and girls, of course. So London's really kicking. Every time you go to these different events that other individuals are hosting, we try to go as many as possible. It's great because every time you go there, the space just keeps on building. The crowds get bigger. The speakers are all based in London, doing their own projects, having their own hustles and grinding away. So it's great to hear what other people are doing in the space in the same big city that is London. Matt, great event. I think there's like 300 people there, so a great turnout. It's always great to see familiar faces there. It's always great to see new faces of people who have been in the shadow, if you like, have kind of read about it, trying to kind of further understanding. And it's great to have a mixture of let's say, newbies in the room and people who have a really, really deep technical understanding of the space and can really ask those questions and are committed full-time as well to the crypto and blockchain space, committed to developing it from a technical standpoint. So it's great to have a room with all that mixture of knowledge, and it's a special thing to be part of and be involved in. So on that note, we're actually having our next event, SVK Crypto's next event, and it's going to be titled When EOS Rules the World. Extremely bullish title. We've got a lot of things to say. We've got a lot of things to back it up with. And that's going to be held on the 17th of July at WeWork Bishopsgate here in the city of London. So if anyone's interested in coming down, head to our Telegram SVK Space crowd, or if you're not on Telegram and you're behind the curve, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. With that in mind, let's get down to business. So Bitcoin's currently trading at $6,672. That's down 0.5% today thus far. Ethereum's currently trading at $474. That's down, that's kind of breaking even for the day, percentage change-wise. EOS currently trading at $8.93. That's down 2.5%. We have Cardano trading at 15 cents. That's down 5%. NEO currently trading at $41.49. That's up 7%. It's interesting because at SVK Crypto, big believers in NEO, we support a lot of the events that they've done, the DevCon, the events they do all around Europe, Token 2049. But I think what's most interesting is that we've been speaking about NEO for a really long time, and down at $32, I did say on the podcast that it was an extremely good opportunity to have a further look into NEO if you haven't already. But remember, this is not financial or trading advice, just our in-house view. But NEO's been on our radar for a little while now. And as I said, we support a lot of the different elements of NEO. Whether they're speaking somewhere, we'll fly out and hang out with the guys there. So yeah, big shout out to those guys. Done really, really well. I know there's a lot of different governance changes going on at the minute from the NGC. We're away from the NEO Global Council, away from that into different kind of elements of NEO and trying to make it kind of more decentralized. Something we spoke about yesterday a little bit. Anyway, let's get on to the next part of the show. So for the listeners out there, I don't suppose anyone has heard of BitMEX. BitMEX has been causing waves in the space as the co-founder is now the youngest British self-made billionaire. So let's find out more, not only about BitMEX, but about the new billionaire on the block. So according to the Sunday Times, Ben Delo's college yearbook describes him as having been voted the student most likely to become a millionaire and the student second most likely to end up in prison. UK media is now heralding the BitMEX co-founder as the first Briton to become a billionaire through cryptocurrency, as the youngest British self-made billionaire at just 34. After studying computer science and mathematics at Worcester College, Oxford, Ben Diller graduated in 2005 with a first-class degree. Mr. Diller then worked with IBM as a software engineer, before later moving to Hong Kong to work for JP Morgan. BitMEX was founded by Ben Dillo, Samuel Reed, and Arthur Hayes in 2014. Mr. Bello describes the intensive work required to launch the exchange, stating, "I've had my nose down in a startup for the last 4 years. I was doing 18-hour days at one point. In addition to this, himself and his wife regularly eating McDonald's as well just to get by." Mr. Dillo's claims now to maintain a frugal lifestyle, inspired by the likes of Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, and to be a regular donor to various charities. BitMEX quickly rose to prominence by offering a high leverage of cryptocurrency contracts. Due to the significant leverage offered, the exchange is ranked as having the highest trade volume of all cryptocurrency exchanges on CoinMarketCap. As of writing, BitMEX boasts an estimated 24-hour trade volume of approximately $2.5 billion, nearly $900 million more than the second largest exchange by 24-hour trade volume, CoinEx, which is $1.66 billion, and over $1.1 billion more than the third largest exchange, Binance. So it's interesting how big these guys really are and the fact that no one's really heard of them. But it's interesting because you've got exchanges and these guys are making so much money because not only are they taking a percentage of the tokens transacted, they're also making money on the appreciation of those tokens in through time. So if something's currently trading at 10 cents and they get listed onto the exchange and people are trading in and out of that token and that goes to $5, they're going to be building up a big stack of those tokens, which are going to appreciate in value, which gives more value to the exchange as well. So it's an interesting business model and one I know many out there are looking to replicate. The next story is extremely relevant. I'll tell you in a second. Big insurers are uniting behind R3's blockchain tech. I think this is extremely interesting because R3 are doing a lot of interesting things with big corporations in the space. And actually, if you're in London on July 14th, myself and the CTO of R3 will be on a panel discussion at the London FinTech Week. So if you're looking for a discounted ticket, please reach out to me on Telegram, which is SVK Space Crowd, and I can be able to hook you up. So there are going to be some interesting debates going down. So let's jump into the story. R3 has scored another win in the insurance sector, giving the startup itself wide lead over other distributed ledger technology providers in the sector. Revealed today, the Risk Block Alliance, whose members include such insurance heavyweights as Chubb, Marsh, and Liberty Mutual, have decided to build its first set of use cases using R3's Corda platform. The news comes soon after B3i, the European Reinsurance Consortium, decided to switch from Hyperledger to Hyperledger Fabric to Corda. With an addition of Risk Block, R3 now counts all major insurance blockchain consortia as Corda users, including the insurer Wave Marine Insurance Platform, already by EY and Maersk, as well as regional initiatives in India and Italy. Risk Block was officially launched in mid-2017 by the Institutes, an insurance research and education network. But the team behind the DLT consortium has spent at least 2 years testing enterprise blockchain solutions. Earlier this year, Risk Block narrowed down its choices to a short list: Quorum, developed by JP Morgan Chase, Hyperledger Fabric, Corda, and Digital Asset. So we went through an intense and laborious process and finally narrowed it down to two, which were Corda and the Digital Asset. Patrick Schmidt, a vice president at Risk Block, told the media today, "It was a close race and we haven't worked out all the details yet, but we have decided on Corda and we're moving in that direction." Risk Block was a founding member of the Ethereum Enterprise Alliance, and much of the early work, including several proofs of concept, was done on a private version of Ethereum, the world's second largest blockchain. However, the insurance consortium started to change course this year as it received input from members, firms, and some of its potential partners. Privacy, or rather the lack of. Therefore, in a system forked from a public network, was the deal breaker for these companies, according to Schmidt. What we learned from the testing Ethereum was that our members found huge value in smart contracts and found huge value in blockchain-enabled technology, but they were little bit concerned about data segregation. Even with a private variation of Ethereum, their concern really was around data being stored. even if it's encrypted and hashed on every node in the system. The new risk block applications are proof of insurance with the goal of weeding out uninsured motorists. More efficiently, the forms of data sharing, when a policyholder first notifies an insurer, it will be filing a claim. Subrogation, think of when your auto insurer or your auto insurance carries pays after an accident and then pursues the other driver's carrier for a reimbursement. With a focus on blockchain-based net settlement system, and which is then paid out automatically when a triggering event such as a natural catastrophe. Which is interesting, because in terms of a timeline, Schmidt said, everything is in progress now. We anticipate that we'll have POI and first notice of loss fully complete and ready for a member testing before the end of summer. So we have to remember as well, with these big insurance corporations and other corporations out there, like, they don't want to be on the public network, because if there's an issue or a fork, they're going to have to, they don't have control over it. They don't have control of all the data on there as well. So that's why you have R3 Corda, as the, like, R3's own network, which is called Corda, developing new networks for these big corporations that are exclusive to them. They don't have to share it with the public. They don't have to share it with other individuals who have different kind of opinions to them on how the network should be and how the future should be as well. So I think that's really important, that you have individuals or entities like R3 doing what they're doing at the minute and bringing over these big corporations over into our space and using blockchain technology improve their businesses. So there's been a few messages recently regarding EOS.io and RAM and the way that works and the relationship between EOS.io and the RAM market. So let's jump in and find a little bit more. So the EOS.io blockchain software basically enables communities to configure the amount of RAM, or RAM stands for random access memory, that a full node are expected to have for maximum performance. Basically, RAM is required to store accounts, information such as keys, balances, and contract states, because the amount of RAM available to a single computer is limited by Moore's law and other technological advances. So RAM is fundamentally scarce. So EOS.io basically adopts a free market approach to allocating scarce resources to the highest purpose to facilitate the market. The EOS.io system contract allows users to buy RAM from the system and sell RAM back to the system in exchange for blockchain native tokens, or EOS tokens. So this provides liquidity in the RAM market while facilitating price discovery. The less unallocated RAM available to the market maker, the higher the market maker prices the remaining RAM, or the algorithm used for the market maker is known as a Bancor relay, in a sense. And this is how the EOS.io RAM market really works. I hope that makes sense. That was just a quick one for the listeners who have been emailing me. Please keep them coming. We appreciate all your support, your time and attention. We feel very blessed to have a community that listens to us on a daily basis. So we really appreciate everything. So listen, as always, join us on our socials. Join us on Telegram, SVK Space Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. We can also email myself, cstory at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Have a phenomenal Thursday wherever you are in the world, and have a good one. That's a wrap.
Listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.